You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are so pumped. We've got a podcast celebrity for you today. We are excited to talk about all things short-term rental investing and analyzing and markets. But before we get into all that juicy goodness, let's share one of you who's using our hashtag on Instagram, #STRShareSunday. We'll share you on our IG on Sundays. And also... blast you out here on the podcast and our email list. So, Nettie, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing @Bayview_Bigfoot. Again, that's @Bayview_Bigfoot. And truly, this is just for my own entertainment.
I love
what they have done. They had, during their photo session, they had someone put on a Bigfoot costume. And so throughout their Instagram, they're listing photos. Bigfoot's there. And so they kind of have this Sasquatch Bigfoot theme throughout. And Sarah and I talk about this all the time. Whatever's in alignment with what you want to do, do it. This is catchy. I'm interested. They have Bigfoot artwork. They have like Sasquatch popcorn. They have like spices that are all themed in this. And I just...
it's so fun.
It's fun. I love it. And people are going on vacation. They want to have fun. So... well done @Bayview Bigfoot. Check them out. We'll make sure that we have their link in the show notes. But man, they did it. And I love the photos. And whoever you are, Bigfoot, please, can you send us like a video wearing your Bigfoot costume and make me very, very happy.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Sarah, we've been wanting to have this guest on the show for a long time.
For so long. And we're so pumped that she is here with us. Listeners, you're in for a huge treat. Get ready to add yet another podcast to your podcast lineup. Because today we have Avery Carl. Avery Carl is the author of Short-Term Rental, Long-Term Wealth, Your Guide to Analyzing, Buying, and Managing Vacation Properties, and the host of the Short-Term Show podcast. Avery went from a $37,000 a year salary to a real estate investment portfolio of 100 doors in just 5 years through strategically investing in short-term and vacation rentals. This strategy allowed her to grow her portfolio much more quickly than starting off with traditional long-term rentals. The short-term shop has helped over 4,500 families create generational wealth through real estate investing. We know this is music to all of your ears, listeners, so get ready. Avery, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I need to update my bio. I'm at 205 doors.
Wait, you really need to update that bio.
Okay, by the way, she just filled this out not that long ago, everybody. So we don't know what sort of acquisition just happened, but we're here for
it. So get ready to spill all your secrets in, Avery, because we want to know how you did this too. But no, seriously, welcome to the show. We're so pumped to have you. Let's kick this off. Let our listeners get to know more about you. How did you get into this? What were you doing for $37K a year, and how did you find real estate?
Yeah. So I was working in the music business for $37K a year, and music business pays terrible because it's glamorous and there's always an intern who will do your job for free. And they are very well aware of that. So I kind of backed into real estate. So my husband and I moved from New York City to Nashville in 2013. And yeah, it was 2013. And it's a long time ago now. I didn't have my license yet. I was about to start grad school, and he still is a DJ, a classic rock DJ on Sirius XM. So he was just transferring from the New York office to the Nashville office. And our real estate agent at the time was really trying to get us to buy in this super hipster part of Nashville that was appreciating really quickly. Little did they know 2021 would be much more appreciation than back then, but it seemed like a lot of appreciation at the time. And she was like, y'all got to buy here. You're going to make so much money over the next 2 or 3 years. People are cashing $100,000 checks in a year. And we thought, well, that's cool and all, but we're moving from Brooklyn to Tennessee. So we want to buy out in the country and have some land. We're sick of neighbors. So we did that. And then we thought, well, we have a little bit of money left. And maybe if we bought one of these rentals, we didn't even know it was called real estate investing at the time, but we thought maybe if we buy one of these houses that's appreciating really fast and just rent it out, then by the time our future kids go to college, it will have appreciated enough to where we can just pay for their college by selling that house and not have to pay for it out of pocket. And it was totally Dave Ramsey. And we thought we were like the biggest geniuses ever for doing this. And so we did, we bought a long-term rental, and luckily that was a really good one. It cash flowed $1,000 over the mortgage every month.
Whoa.
And wow, we got that. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot when you're making $37,000. And we were like, man, this is cool. We're going to build a business out of this. So then we actually started educating ourselves on the major purchase that we'd already made and listening to podcasts and reading books and all that. And we had just one down payment on a single family home worth of capital left. And so we said, well, what can we buy that's going to make us the most amount of money the fastest so that we can buy more properties faster? And so we landed on short-term rentals, but we didn't want to do it in Nashville. I mean, I think everybody knows at this point that Nashville has really volatile regulations that change all the time. So we weren't willing to sacrifice our little nest egg for something that we might not be able to do in a year or two. So we said, well, where can we buy something that it's the normal thing for people to go and rent a house or a condo or a cabin, not a hotel? And we'd just been on vacation to the Smoky Mountains, which is like 3 hours east of Nashville. And we said, well, everybody stays in cabins there. Somebody owns these cabins. Why can't it be us? So we bought our first one. Again, didn't know anything about what we were doing. There weren't all of these courses and things back then. So we just kind of figured out how to do it remotely, because at the time, the standard for short-term rental property management in the Smokies was 40% of your gross. So we said, well, we can't afford to give somebody 40%. So we figured out how to do it ourselves. And long story short, one turned into five over the course of about a year. And then we branched out into a few other markets. So now we have 205 doors, eight of which are short-term rentals. And those short-term rentals generate so much cash flow that we're able to go buy like the long-term apartment buildings and other types of things.
Nice. Awesome. And so we do want to make sure that we tell our listeners this. Can you recap that a little bit, Avery, of your portfolio mix right now? Because I know that a lot of times people think everyone has to be either all in on short-term rentals or all in on long-term. So can you just go over those numbers again on your yes, portfolio yes. dynamic?
And I think that's a really great question to highlight, because a lot of people, they're like, well, if short-term rentals make so much money, then why do you only have eight of them? And I'm like, because I only need eight to do what I need to do. So we have eight short-terms. Five of them are cabins in the Smokies. We have one beach house in Destin, Florida, one beach house in 30A, which is just right next door to Destin. And then one last beach house in Cape San Blas, which is on the Forgotten Coast. We have 5 or 6 apartment buildings that are all long-term rentals. And then the rest of those 205 doors are single family and duplexes all along the Southeast, Chattanooga, Birmingham, places like that.
Oh, cool. And are you and your husband, is it you two on all those properties, or have you partnered up with anybody? What's your strategy when it comes to acquisition?
So for us now, we own all of those, just the two of us. When we first started, I think on our 4th and 5th cabins in the Smokies, we ran out of DTI. So we did have a partner on those two. But once we got to a point of like, okay, we don't need partners anymore, he bought us out and we were able to 1031 exchange that into the proceeds from those two properties into one larger one in the Smokies. So I think people get caught up in trying to build too much volume too fast with partnerships. They can be really, really great. But what you don't want is to get 4, 5, 6 years down the road and you have 27 partners on 100 different properties and you like are trying to get out from under it because you don't need partners anymore. So I would say be careful with partnerships, even if they're great ones, because the goal is to own it yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Avery, a lot of people come to our podcast because they love, you know, hospitality and amenity baskets and things like that. And they find real estate through that love. So if you don't mind, back up, what is DTI and what is a 1031 exchange?
Okay. So DTI is your debt to income ratio. So when you go to get a conventional loan, and there's other types of loans that we can also dive into if you want, but it's how much debt you have versus how much income you have. And that is how lenders determine how much they will qualify you for to buy. So if you're, I think it's between 40 and 50%, depending on which lender and what type of loan. But if you get more debt than the income you have, then they'll say, no, you can't have a loan this year. You have to wait until you file your taxes next year and you're showing the income from these properties that you own. So if it gets too high, you might have to bring in a partner to be your money person. Mm-hmm. And then a 1031 exchange, and I'm probably going to butcher the
explanation. We can do it super simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm not a CPA, but it's when you own a property, maybe you've owned it for a few years and it has a lot of equity in it, and you go to sell it, you can do what's called a 1031 exchange so that you can avoid paying those capital gains taxes or defer them. So basically what you do is you sell the property, you hire a 1031 exchange intermediary before you do that. And what you do is you take all of the proceeds from that property and exchange them into another property. So that way you're deferring the capital gains taxes until you sell the new property that you're buying. And you can basically 1031 exchange until forever, but at some point you're going to have to pay the taxes.
Right.
Probably
yeah.
when you die.
And there's a time frame. There's a time limit too on finding that property, which sometimes people get stressed out about, especially in the markets like we've seen recently where it's like, ugh. And I think you have to do a property that's like a next level up, you know, whether, you know, more expensive. Like, I don't think you can, you know, you can't downgrade your property in the
right.
exchange.
You have 45 days and you have to buy one that's more expensive than the property that you're buying, or you can split it up. You can sell one property and go buy 3 more properties with it. It really just kind of depends. That's kind of the extent of my knowledge on it.
Yeah. It can get complicated for sure.
Can we ask really quick, even though we're talking about short terms, but is there a reason, for the long-term rentals that you've chosen to do apartment buildings, was it just easier to get more doors in those purchases, or is that kind of, is there a thought process
strategy
behind that?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So when we first started buying more long-terms after we got the 5 short terms, we started with single family homes and duplexes in Chattanooga because that's what we could afford at the time. So we had all this cash flow rolling in, and at the time it was about between 100 and 150 to get a duplex in Chattanooga, 150,000. So we didn't notice those down payments going out the door as much as we did in the beginning. And then we started buying some in Birmingham. And then we were like, okay, well, we're buying like 4 and 5 single families at a time in duplexes. Why don't we just buy an apartment building and, you know, we're knocking out a bunch of them at one time? Because it just got to be, you know, you've got closing costs on all of these and it's just a whole thing. So it's partly because we could afford to do the bigger deals the further we got down the road. And then also because the cost segregation analysis, which again is a little out of my wheelhouse, but the more expensive properties, you can offset your taxes by doing a cost segregation analysis on them. So it's a lot easier to do one cost seg on a $3 million apartment building than 100 cost segs on a bunch of little properties.
Got it.
Smart.
Okay. So let's back up a little bit. Cause a lot of our listeners get kind of frustrated, right? Avery, like they figure out how to buy one property, or maybe they inherited it, or they scraped together all their money and they got the down payment. They got the one. And they're like, okay, so the second one, this third one, like what advice do you have for people to get over that first hill until that snowball effect happens where, you know, it just starts being much easier to just get more and more property? How do you get over that hump of looking at it as needing 20% down or 25% down and having to be this perfect, you know, have all the boxes checked for the banks? Did you guys go the bank conventional route and that whole perfect picture when it came to buying your first few properties, or what advice do you have for people?
I have so much to say about this topic. So, we did start with conventional loans, and you only get 10 per person. And if you alternate spouse names on the title of each property, you can get 10 each. Whereas if you put them both on the title of each property, you can only get 10 total. So we alternated, and we exhausted all of our conventional loans first. And why we did that is because conventional loans are the easiest to get. They're typically the lowest interest rate. So a lot of people are like, oh, real estate investing, creative financing, hard money. I have to do all these crazy words or else I'm not a real estate investor. That's not true. Regular old conventional financing is the easiest route to go. At some point, you might either run into a debt to income issue like we did. We ran into that debt to income wall before we ran out of conventional financing. So they didn't have, when we started, DSCR loans for short-term rentals, and they do now. And so what a DSCR loan is, actually, I have a mortgage company called The Mortgage Shop that offers these. And what a DSCR loan is they're giving you the loan based off of what the property will make rather than checking all the boxes of that debt to income ratio. So it's on a one-to-one ratio in most cases. I don't know about everybody else's product, but ours is one-to-one. So you just have to show that the property will make the same amount as the mortgage every month, and they will give you the loan based on that. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, but the interest rate's so high. Well, of course it is, because it's more risk to the bank to give you a loan based on your ability to manage it well enough to make that mortgage payment. So there are pros and cons to everything. That's why I say conventional is easiest, because it's cheaper. But if you're somebody who has, you know, maybe just recently switched from W-2 work to 1099 work, and you're not able to get a conventional loan, but you have the cash in the bank to make that down payment, a DSCR loan can be a really awesome option because they're unlimited. You can drop them right into your LLC, whereas conventional loans, you have to get in your personal name. So those are a really great product for getting over that hump. And then also, I think people, when they start getting bookings on their first property, it's really, really, really exciting. And they get what I call green light syndrome, which is, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. They feel like they've cracked the code to life, and they have this lightning in a bottle, and they're making so much money, and they lose sight of the course, which the course is to build your real estate portfolio so that you have financial independence. But what happens when people get green light syndrome is they're like, I'm going to start a property management company and manage all the properties in the world, or I'm going to start a course. I've only got 3 Airbnb bookings, but I'm going to start a course and I'm going to make so much money on this course. If you use that energy to build your portfolio and not to go off down all these crazy paths that really end up leading nowhere, because the goal is financial independence for you. If you're starting a course, or if you're starting a property management company, that's creating a job for yourself rather than actually creating wealth for yourself. So I see so many people on Facebook forums, and they'll say, oh, hey, everybody, I just got my first short-term rental. Can you tell me what I need to do? And then 3 months later, they're like, join my course and the Financial Freedom Short-Term Rental Airbnb Academy University. And you just got to, you know, pay attention to what you're doing. And yes, it can be really exciting when you start getting a lot of bookings, but just stay the course. The goal is financial independence, not like creating all these crazy businesses that there's already 1,000 of out there.
Yeah, the vanity metrics can very much blind you very, very quickly. Or like, yeah, Nettie and I always talk about like just keeping your blinders on. You know, remember that why you got started in the first place, and just try to stay the course. Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Minoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Minoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Minoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Minoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to MinoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Minoan.
Let's talk about the realities, though, of hosting and the time that it takes versus your long-term rentals. And we like to give everybody a lot of visibility into, like you were just saying, there's a lot of noise out there about how you can 3X, 4X what your long-term rental, you know, income could be. But no one wants to talk about it's 3X, 4X, maybe 10X the amount of work sometimes, to get it ready, to keep it moving. You know, it is 24. Yes, your property, if you have long-term, it's 24/7 too, but there's a lot more turnover and a lot more check-ins, check-outs. You know, you're handing that key over to your long-term renter once a year versus, I mean, who knows how many times you're going to do that. So at the short-term rental shop, because you're bringing a lot of people in, your real estate company, to buy these homes, how do you guide them on, is this the right decision for my family, for this generational wealth that they're wanting to accrue? What's the advice that you give? What are some of like your bullet points that you go through with a potential buyer?
Yeah. So with our real estate clients, we tell them like, yeah, you can 3X, 4X, 10X, depending on what you could get comparably for a long-term rental. The difference is you can very easily systematize things to where it takes a lot less time and effort than it did 3, 4, 5 years ago. Like when I started, I was having to look at every calendar at the end of the month and send like type out an email to my cleaners and say, you need to go this day, this day, this day, this day. That's automated now. So, but there is time that you have to put in managing your system. So I like to tell people like, yeah, you're going to make a lot of money. And yes, it is better than sitting in an office from 9 to 5 every day. But the trade-off is like, you're going to be in the middle of something one day and a guest needs something. Like it's going to interrupt your dinner at some point. It's going to interrupt things and you're going to have to deal with things. And that's going to be an annoyance, but it's the trade-off between trading your time for money or trading, you know, being able to do all these things. Like, yeah, you can go to the gym in the middle of the day if you want, or get your kids out of school and go to the movies on a weekday during business hours, but you may have to answer some messages during that time. There are going to be times you have to step away. So there's not any one answer that's going to be take zero time, make the most amount of money, and be able to do whatever you want to do. Everything is work. Nothing in life is free. So for me, the freedom of time of like, yeah, if I want to get my kids out of school and go see Jurassic Park, that's awesome. If I have to send a few text messages and deal with a few things while I'm sitting there, like that's okay too, because I'm able to still have that experience. So it definitely takes some time and it takes some effort and it's going to be some heartache, especially right at first when you're getting things ramped up. But the alternative is not nearly as fun.
You mean you don't tell your potential clients that they can just like move to Hawaii and drink pina coladas on the beach and all this mailbox money just comes in? That's not the way it is. No, I mean, and listeners, you know how much that means to Annette and I, that you understand what you're getting into, because these are real humans going into these properties. There are lives at stake. And so when we have properties that aren't managed well, or you know, that your T's aren't crossed and your I's aren't dotted, or you just didn't think about that time commitment, it can be a real shocker to your life. But okay, Avery, we talked about like making all this money in short-term rentals, but I mean, there's all these articles coming out right now about the vacation rental industry had its heyday last year and things are changing this year and calendars aren't as booked as high and all this conversation that's happening, what is your take on 2022 and beyond with more traditional vacation rental markets? Like, is it done? Is it over? Where do you see it going? What are your thoughts? What are you seeing?
Yeah. So all markets are cyclical, whether it's the real estate sales market, whether it's tourism industry, whether it's the stock market. Things are going to, at least in real estate, they stay on an upward trend, but they do have peaks and valleys. It kind of goes like this while it's still going like this. So yeah, 2021 was higher than a lot of years because it was a weird year. There's a lot of weird things going on. So I don't think that anything's ending or over. I think it's just a normalization. It's not a crash. It's just a normalization of going back to normal. And I see a lot of people, especially people who bought in the last 18 months, right around May, right before the Airbnb algorithm change that like sent everyone out of their minds, a lot of people who hadn't owned in a true seasonality cycle, flipping out, going, oh my God, I was booked. I was 100% booked in May last year. And this year it's crickets, especially in one of our markets in the Smokies, people were flipping out. Whereas May is historically a dip in the Smokies, because it's right between, or in a lot of markets, because it's right between spring break and summer. Everyone just went on vacation and is also about to go on vacation. So they're not going anywhere in May. Everybody was flipping out and we were having to be like, y'all, May is actually not usually a good month. You had a good year last year. So it's a combination of not having been through a normal seasonality period. And then also that things are normalizing that can make people have this whole sky is falling attitude. And also the market that you buy in is very, very important. So I stick to markets like true vacation rental markets where it's been the normal thing for decades and decades and decades. The main form of tourism accommodation is short-term rentals, not hotels. So I'm only in markets where the tourism has been here for several recessions and all kinds of economic events and natural disasters for decades. So it's not a situation where up until 10 years ago, everyone was staying in a hotel and then people started buying short-term rentals and now people are staying in short-term rentals. Those are the markets that will get shaken up a little worse, I think, especially because hotels don't want them there. So if you're buying in markets that have been through all kinds of things already and short-term rentals have been the number one accommodation over the course of time, then I think you're in a better position than a lot of people will be. But everything's cyclical. You can't, not every year can be the best year, no matter what your investment is, whether that's long-term, short-term, stock market, anything. So it's not so much timing the market as it is time in the market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that you just said not every year can be your best year.
No.
I think a lot of people become like overachievers and they get those because in a lot of businesses, you want to see year over year growth. And we want to let everybody know, like when you have a short-term rental, you have 365 days that you can rent it. You are capped at the nights. So like that year over year growth, if you're on top of your numbers, you're going to be able to see truly what it can be. And so that growth can't just every year. I mean, it can because of your nightly rate, but like it isn't going to be this exponential growth all the time. It's something that you can level out and you can feel really good about. I'm not trying to be like a downer on it, but also it's something that like, I love that. Every year doesn't have to be your best year because I think we're kind of trained that like every year should just be these epic years in your when you're looking at your numbers in your business or personally. So I like that. Gives everybody like what you said earlier, Avery, like what's your long-term goal and what's the long-term goal of that property also? And I think that helps. I know we have a lot of students and that helps us bring everything down when they're freaking out. It's like, wait, look at your historical numbers. And then look at like the long-term goal of what this property is for you. And then that kind of just like lifts the weight off of the shoulders, I think, instead of Chicken Little sky is falling, the bookings aren't coming in.
Well, I have my next question for you, Avery, is kind of maybe twofold. Maybe you can figure out how you want to share your feedback on this. But people who bought in the past 18 months, maybe they didn't run their numbers on that property before they bought it. They ran with 2021 numbers. They didn't run it with like the historical numbers or with what something that Annette and I like to do with our numbers is like making sure that we can run them on long-term rentals. And I'm not sure, how do you analyze short-term rentals, especially in traditional vacation rental markets mm-hmm. that where you may not, I don't know if like long-term tenants, not even a thing. So how does that work in the markets that you're in? And how is that, if someone may be overpaid in 2021, what's your advice for them?
So we typically tell people to use an average of the past 3 years. So 2021 was higher than normal, probably not going to be that high again this year. And then a lot of people will say use 2019 numbers only. Well, that doesn't make sense because we're at double digit inflation now. So it costs more dollars to get the same thing in 2022 than it did in 2019. So that's not really comparing apples to apples. So I say do an average of 2019, 20, and 21, and that should put you right in the ballpark of where you need to be. And that's the thing about true vacation rental markets is that if something were to come along and like wipe out the entire vacation rental industry, everybody who owns one is not going to be able to convert to a long-term rental. So you have the security of knowing that there's longevity in these markets, but you're trading off like, I'm probably not going to be able to turn this into a long-term if I need to. But you know, metro markets have their own set of problems with being able, you can turn things into a long-term, but they have other problems like cities not really wanting them there. So there's no type of, market to choose that's just going to be like foolproof. Nothing can ever go wrong. So you kind of have to say, what makes me the most comfortable? Do I want to be able to convert it to a long-term, or do I want to be able to go to a vacation market and see these like really crazy income numbers, but no, you can't convert it to a long-term most likely.
Yes. Are you seeing a lot of, with the vacation rental markets, are you seeing people wanting to stay longer? Are you seeing anyone like work from anywhere wanting to book your rentals maybe longer than the week long
traditional vacation? Yeah. Family vacation.
We aren't seeing longer bookings, but we're seeing a longer season. So we're still typically not seeing anything over 10 days, but the season has extended, at least in our mountain markets, it's pretty year round anyway, but in our beach markets, the season extends longer into the wintertime than it normally would.
Interesting. Okay. Because, and you think it is due to work from home, people being able to vacation from anywhere?
Yeah, because then they're not like confined to the summer and the, you know, kids being able to do remote school now, they're also not confined to the summer. So if people want to say, oh, well, I really want to go vacation in 30A, but July is nuts and it's really crowded, let's go at the end of August and the kids can just go to school remotely.
Cool. And then with that extension of the season, have you been extending your high season pricing also to those dates?
Yes and no. So we rely, I would say 70% on Price Labs, but then we're always in there kind of tweaking things to make sure that things do get booked. I think a big mistake that people make with Price Labs, especially when they're new with their pricing, is they just throw it up there for whatever Price Labs says. And they don't take into account that they don't have any reviews. So people don't know what kind of experience they're walking into. And then I have people come to us all the time that, you know, bought with us in any of our markets, but they'll say, hey, I'm not getting booked. What's the problem here? Take a look at my listing. And we'll say, oh, your price too high. And they're like, no, I'm not. I'm like, are you getting booked? Because it's a really cute property. Well, no, we're not getting booked. It's priced too high. And they're like, well, we're right in line with our neighbors. Yeah, but your neighbor has 50 reviews. So you do have to drop it down. And I don't want to say give it away the first month, but you have to be willing to not make as much in order to build your review base to get your pricing to where it needs to be. I know it's not what you asked, and I kind of like segued into
it's a really good point. It's a really good point. Yeah. No, because that's what people do, you know. We encourage everyone to use Price Labs too, but it's an art and a science. Yeah, it's an art and a science. Like, know what your property is. If you don't have those reviews, then you need to get those, beef those up before you can start, you know, commanding top dollar in your area. So yeah, my question was, are you extending those seasonal prices? Like are you trying to dip down a little bit to help the people out that are wanting to vacation when it's not as high, the high season?
So we do extend them. And then if it's not getting booked, then we'll drop them down a little bit incrementally and just see what we can get. And we also shrink our minimum night stay. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word minimum night stay. We'll lower our minimum night stay the further out of season it gets, because, you know, maybe somebody doesn't want to come to the beach for 7 days, but they want to come, you know, really quick for like two or three for a long weekend. So we do a number of things. It's just like anything. You can't just let everything sit on autopilot. You have to kind of pay attention to your business and see what's happening. And, oh, do we need to lower our price per night here? Or do we need to just make it a lower minimum night stay and just kind of tweak? So I guess I don't have like an actual answer to that other than we're always tweaking and we're always kind of paying attention to that kind of thing.
I want to start asking this more. Do you have in your properties, do you have this baseline price that no matter what, we are not going lower than this? We are just going to let it sit empty. We would rather just let it sit empty, then have a guest check in for like, you know, discount prices. What do you have that with your team? Like, look, this is as low as we're going to go on all the properties.
We do. And it depends on the market and the time of year, especially if the guest is local. Typically, like one or two night bookings is not something you want to do for a local person because a lot of times they're hosting a party or something like that. I would say when we were new, we didn't. We would just drop that price until it got booked. Now that we're more experienced and we have more properties to like carry the other properties, we have more of a threshold because it can, in some cases, invite some less than stellar guests when you drop it too low. But when we started, like there were no, you know, we pulled out all the stops because the goal was we need asses in the seats. We need to make this money. $20 is better than $0. But now that we're more established, we have more of a threshold.
Right. No, that's awesome.
Okay. So what's next for you? Are you going to continue to, your strategy to grow your rental portfolio quicker is to kind of have some short-term rentals get you more cash flow so that you can afford to acquire more long-term rentals. Did I understand that correctly? Is that kind of your, yep. So now that you're at this amazing door count, what's next for you in your real estate investing? Do you want more short-term rentals, especially with this maybe normalization of the vacation rental industry, or what are you guys thinking? What's next for you?
So I don't recommend doing this unless you're super experienced. Focus on one thing at a time. But at where we are at our stage in our career is we have our three different machines rolling all the time. So since I'm like ingrained in the short-term rentals, running the short-term shop in 11 markets, we're announcing two more this week, by the way, working with clients and stuff. Like I'm kind of plugged into where like, oh, this market makes a lot of sense right now. And if we see something, we might buy it. And then we have our long-term rental machine that's just like kind of rolling and deals get brought to us. And we're like, yes, no, like that's what Luke, my husband, does all day is runs all that stuff. And then we have our multi-machine running in another market. Same thing. People know that we close and that we're easy to work with and that we're not a nightmare to deal with. And so they bring us deals and we'll say, you know, yes or no. So we're kind of buying all three types, but I recommend focusing on one thing at a time. And for us now, our strategy is a little bit different than it used to be. So when we first started, it was like that cash on cash return. We need the least amount of money down for the most amount of money that a property can make. And I see a lot of people who, you know, maybe they've taken a course that says you need to have X amount of cash on cash return and that's it. Otherwise, you don't even look at it. I disagree with that because based on where you are in your career and what your personal financial situation looks like can determine a lot of things. So if you're buying a house that needs a lot of work that you're doing a full rehab on, well, the cash on cash return on that is not going to look that great because you're putting in so much money up front. And then now for us, we are more focused on like we've got cash that needs to be deployed, which we did not have when we started. And so now we're more like, okay, well, we have this much cash that we need to get rid of. And how much cash flow is this property, whether it's short, long, multi, how much is this going to add to our monthly cash flow number? And is it worth it for me to do this right now? And also right now, cost segs are a big thing for us. We need to be able to cost seg a big property. So we either need to buy like a pretty big multifamily, not pretty big, there's maybe like 50 unit multi, or maybe like a good sized vacation rental somewhere because it's getting to be the second half of the year. Deals aren't as plentiful. I think that that's going to kind of change as it's kind of becoming a buyer's market, but we need to buy something big. And so whether that's an apartment building or whether that's, you know, a big short-term rental, whichever one comes up first.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. Okay. So your rentals, they're not all in your backyard, your short-term rentals. Talk to us about your remote hosting. And if you don't mind, give us some like transparency. Back in the day, you guys were self-managing. Now, have you built your own in-house team? And how is it all working for you in the long-term management aspect?
Yeah, so we still technically self-manage all of our short-terms. We have all of our long-terms with property managers, like totally different beast. But we do have VAs for our short-terms now. So we started out and it was just my husband, Luke, and myself doing it. But now we've got VAs that handle most of the day-to-day and we'll just like approve things. So, you know, if something breaks, the VA will say, hey, you know, it looks like this thing broke. And our VA now actually has our list of vendors. So he'll go ahead and get quotes and things and say, this is what it looks like. What do you want to do? And we'll say, we want to do this thing. But you're still managing your VAs, managing your system. So there might be something that they don't know, a question that they don't know the answer to. So they're coming to you, or, you know, if it's a guest complaint that is significant, then, you know, it's still us and not necessarily the VAs. So we offload most of the day-to-day to VAs, but still, you know, we're running that business.
Mm-hmm. It's like a filter. It's kind of nice because you're no longer getting all the things thrown at you. You're getting like the most important decisions to make, which is a really nice place to be. Avery, do you think that's possible for someone with 1 to 3 properties to be able to incorporate a VA, or is it only for those who are able to scale to multiple short-term rentals?
It's certainly possible, but I think you need to have a really good handle on your own business before you bring in a VA so that you can properly teach them. And I think that probably comes at either the 3-year or 3 property mark. You can get VAs offshore for really affordable, but you know, you do have to train them. And if you haven't been through every situation yourself and every scenario that can pop up, it's going to be difficult to train someone else on how to handle that.
Yeah, for sure. You're still the CEO of your own business.
For sure.
Everybody.
Yep. Yeah. And if a guest needs something, they need something. Sarah and I say it's part-time, but all the time, because you're on call all the time. Even for your VA, you're on call, you know, if something's going on at the house. So,
yeah.
All right. So Avery, where can, like, you have so many amazing things going on. Where can our listeners like follow you, do business with you, just get closer to the Avery Carl world?
Yeah. So you can find us at theshorttermshop.com. We are the largest short-term rental specific real estate agency in the country. We're brokered by EXP. I have to say that or else I get in trouble, although we don't participate in that multi-level marketing part of it. But I do have to say EXP.
Okay.
And we have offices in 11 markets. We're actually opening up in Myrtle Beach and then the southwestern area of North Carolina. It's a lot of little towns like Maggie Valley, Bryson City, Waynesville, Murphy, all those places this week.
Awesome.
And yeah. And if you buy with us, then we teach you how to manage everything. We put you through our course for free while you're under contract. So when you close, you're ready to go. Also, you can find me on Instagram. It's at the Short Term Shop. And I think that's just about it.
Cool.
You can get me either of those ways.
Yes. Awesome. And we'll make sure to obviously link to everything in the show notes. So listeners, we hope that you have taken some notes, gotten some inspiration from Avery to just build onto your portfolio. And we love, actually, it's great to have a guest on that has diversified their portfolio and can bring some of that knowledge to us. So
yes.
Thank you so much.
Avery, thank you for your time. Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.